right? He and the Son and the Holy Spirit took care of creation. But he chose not to do it in that way. Rather, the Bible tells us how God, in his sovereignty, called individuals into special, unique, personal relationships with him so that he could use them to accomplish his purposes. He calls each one of us to himself. And he tells us the job he's got for just us to do. And one of the most important purposes that he has given to us to do is to share with others. That's his purpose, to save those who are lost. Listen, everyone in this room knows somebody that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody. Maybe somebody you work with, maybe somebody you play golf with, maybe somebody that you go to your club meeting with, maybe somebody in your family. Somebody, everybody knows somebody that needs to know that God loves them. We don't have a higher calling than sharing the gospel with somebody. One of the most significant illustrations of hearing and responding to God is found in the life of Mary, Jesus' mother. God's eternal purpose from the foundation of time was to bring a Savior into the world. We had created such a rift between us and God through our sin that we were not capable of getting back to God. So what did God do? Did he abandon us? Did he tell us, I'm just going to let you sit there and see how that works out for you? No. God knew that in order for us to get back to him, he would have to make it possible. And he did. Through the sending of his Son to be our Savior, to die in our place, to live a perfectly sinless life, and to have our sin heaped on him at the cross, so that through that act of sacrifice, we could then run to God and we could confess our sin to him and he would save us. But what about Mary? His great purpose in the world, in the eternity, was to bring a Savior here to provide salvation to every person. But he found the one through whom he was going to work. And it was Mary, a little servant girl. An angel from God announced God's purpose through her. In Luke 1:38, the Bible records this amazing and this wonderful response that Mary has to the angel when the angel says, look, you've been found in favor by God, and God is going to bring a Savior into the world. It's going to be your child. And Mary says this, Luke 1:38, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. This angel brought earth-shaking news to Mary. This is not, I want you to go to the village next door and witness to somebody. This is not, I want you to start a home-based Bible study in your house. This is not even, I want you to leave here and go to another country and share what I have to share for these people. No. The angel came and said, God is going to radically change your life forever. And through radically changing your life forever, God is going to change the lives of every person who believes in Jesus Christ. And what does Mary say? Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Some translations say, let it be done to me according to your will. No hesitation, no fear that she showed the angel. You know she had to be terrified. I mean, just consider for a moment what Mary was submitting herself to. The indignation of a single pregnancy in this culture. This was not a culture that welcomed premarital sex. Mary was going to find herself pregnant and unmarried. It would have resulted in her family disowning her. Her fiancé, Joseph, had every right to give her back to her mother and father in disgrace. There was also the possibility of her being stoned to death along with her unborn child. Okay, this is what Mary was looking at. I mean, today's social stigma, if any still exists, was nothing compared to what possibly awaited Mary. But she didn't care for herself. She cared for being obedient to the will and the call of God. And I wonder, when I read that, one of the first things that I wondered about in my life and in the lives of everybody who I was going to be given the privilege of talking to today, is how many of us, when we are approached by God to do something tremendous for His kingdom, will first consider the cost to us. God, I just can't do that. That's going to cut into my money. That's going to cut into my salary. God, that's going to cut into my free time. God, that's going to cut into my life. People are going to talk about me. People are going to say that I'm a weirdo or a holy roller. How many of us consider first the cost to us? That's why the lesson of Mary is so important, because Mary, without hesitation, said, I am the maidservant of God. Let it be done to me according to His will. Y'all, when we learn to accept God's call in our life, we learn to say that to God. When God approaches us, we say, behold your servant. Let it be done to me according to your will. That's giving up a lot. That's giving up a lot of control. But you know what? Control is just really the big lie we buy into. We don't control ourselves anyway. We are controlled by God. He is our Lord. He is our Creator. He is our Sustainer. He is the giver of the very life we claim, the very breath we draw, the very heart that beats in our chest. God has given that. We don't own any part of that ourselves. So when God says, I want to take you and I want to do something with you, our response needs to be, yes, sir. Let it be done to me as you will. And when Mary did that, God did what He said He would do. Impossible to man, but possible for God. Mary had a heart that was perfect toward God, Scripture tells us. And that God, as a result of that, showed Himself strong on her behalf. Working through people like Mary and like you and like me has been God's strategy from eternity. And He is still doing it today. God is still reaching out to us today to call us to be everything that He knows we can be. To be the teacher. To be the listener. To be the prayer. The encourager. Sometimes the chastiser that God calls us to be. I mean, much of how God can or chooses to use us is directly dependent on our willingness to get to know Him and how prepared we are to let Him shape our lives. Sometimes we sit in church, we sit in Sunday school, and we talk about, man, I'm just ready to give it all to God. And then God will come to us and say, I need you to give it all to me. And you go, well, wait a minute now. For the invitation, we're going to sing a song that says, I surrender all. I was listening to a guy talk one time, and he said, you know, I think we should probably rewrite that to say, I surrender some. Because isn't that kind of what we do when God wants to call us? We say, I'll surrender this or this or this. I'll surrender some of it. But God calls us to surrender all. Of course, God wants to use your life to accomplish His eternal purpose in this generation. You are here for a reason. Right now, in this point in time, in this history, in this place in history, you're right here because God has got a purpose for you. God has something for you to do right now. There are times, however, and the Bible speaks to this, where God looks and searches for somebody to use, but doesn't find anyone who is willing or living in a way that God could trust him with the work. How incredibly embarrassing is that? That God will have something tremendous that He wants you to do, and you just won't do it. When God does not have someone who will allow their life to be used, we will often have serious, serious consequences. A fellow I used to go to college with said, there will be consequences and repercussions when God wants to call you and you resist His call. One well-known example is found in the book of Ezekiel, and it's in the life of Ezekiel himself. And if you look at Ezekiel 22, verse 30, Ezekiel writes that God says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Therefore I have poured out my indignation on them, I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. I looked for somebody, and I couldn't find anybody to stand in the gap between me and the people of Israel. And because of that, the people of Israel are going to endure the judgment that I've got for them. This ought to be a very, very sobering truth revealed by God to us as we read this. So each of us will begin to take seriously any invitation that God makes to us. I mean, this may be to share about God's love to our family or our neighbors, or to take part in a missions project. Listen, the missions project that Jonathan's going on, the mission project that Carmen is going on, these are things that they have been called to do just as surely as we have been called to do the work you have us to do. And they have said, "Here am I, send me." Thank you for sharing that verse with us. It may be joining a committee at school. It may be reaching out to a coworker. It may be even changing careers. The eternal destiny of others, listen. The eternal destiny of others may result in your willingness to share the gospel. Now, I'm not saying that God's purposes are not going to be fulfilled. God is sovereign. And God's will for this world is going to be accomplished. But there are things that God wants to accomplish through you. There are people that God is going to place in your path that need to hear a word from you, that need to hear about what God has done in your life. And if you won't do it, those are the kind of things that haunt you at night. Really, they do. I think about the times when while I was still concerned with what other people thought about me. The people that God might have placed that I was working with that I knew were lost. But I wouldn't share with them because I didn't want them to think that I was weird. There is such a liberation that comes from not caring if other people think you're weird. Okay? Listen, if you're there right now, if that's the place you are in your life and you know that there's a good friend of yours or a coworker of yours that needs to hear something that their life is going down the path that you know is a path that leads to destruction, consider for a moment that you might be appointed to that special time and that special place, just like Esther, for such a time as this. Just consider that. Consider that for a moment. God doesn't want His people to suffer judgment. God wants His people to honor Him and to receive His blessing. And in Ezekiel's day, God appointed him to warn the people of the impending danger of His judgment. That is what He appointed him to do. In this assignment, God called Ezekiel a watchman for God's people. A watchman. God described that awesome responsibility in Ezekiel 33. So if you're still at Ezekiel 22, flip over to 33. And let's look at verses 1 through 20 talks about Ezekiel and how he was called and then what he wanted him to say. But let's look at the first 7 verses anyway. Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 7. I typed that wrong. It's the word of the Lord. Anyway, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, speak to your people and tell them, suppose I bring the sword against a land, and the people of that land select a man from among them, appointing him as their watchman. And he sees the sword coming against the land and blows his trumpet to warn the people. Then if anyone hears the sound of the trumpet but ignores the warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. Since he heard the sound of the trumpet but ignored the warning, the blood is on his own hands. If he had taken the warning, he would have saved his life. However, if the watchman sees the sword coming but doesn't blow the trumpet, so that the people aren't warned, and the sword comes and takes away their lives, then they have been taken away because of their iniquity, but I will hold the watchman accountable for their blood. As for you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. When you hear a word from my mouth, give them a warning from me." And then God goes on to take the next 13 verses to pronounce judgment against Israel for their disobedience and their rebellion. I can only imagine how popular that made Ezekiel. I mean, I'm not sure if he had many friends before this, but I can guarantee you that dropped off a lot when he started talking about what God had to say through him to the people of Israel. It was not good news. The entire nation had turned from God. They're leaders. And right on down the line. And God sent Ezekiel to give them a word. He made them the watchman. He said, you are the watchman. I have placed you on this wall, and I am coming. And he said, look, if you tell them I'm coming, you warn them that I'm coming, and they don't do anything about it, well, that's on them. That's on them. Because you have given my word to them. However, if you see me coming and you don't tell them and they die because of that, they have been punished for their wrongs. They have been punished for their transgressions, but I'm going to hold you accountable because you had a word to give and you didn't give it. Listen, that's part of the accountability that comes with our calling from God. God has given us a word. He has entrusted us a word to give to somebody. And He will look at us. He will look at us to see if we have been faithful to that. Once Ezekiel had gotten God's message for his people, he was accountable for delivering it. And that same truth applies to us today. God has placed all of us as watchmen and watchwomen, watch persons, depending on how correct you are. God has placed each one of us as watchmen in family life, in the workplace, the church, our neighborhoods, and their purpose is clear. Our purpose is clear. To share the good news of God's word. And also the uncomfortable task, the less than happy task, of explaining the consequences or the dangers of rejecting God's invitation. A lot of us don't mind sharing the gospel. A lot of preachers don't mind preaching the gospel. Until you get to the point of having to explain to somebody what happens if you don't accept the gospel. God sometimes, like Ezekiel, calls us to give uncomfortable news. Every Christian must recognize the serious accountability that is presented to us in Ezekiel 33. That's each one of us. And that's why it's imperative that we read and study the Scriptures. That's why it's imperative that we believe that what is in this text is God's revealed word to us. That God has given this to us because He wants us to learn from it, to study it. Not because it looks nice sitting on a coffee table. We need to dog the ears of this document. We need to underline and highlight. I used to be afraid to come near my Bible with a pen. I thought I was going to get struck dead. But I'm going to tell you something. God wants us to do whatever we have to do to remember the things that He's got to tell us in His Word so that we can share with other people who may never have picked up this book what it means to us and what it can mean to them. Where has God placed you as a watchperson? Where have you been placed as a watchman? Has He placed a burden on your heart for people around you? I mean, you may be thinking that this example from the life of Ezekiel is a little extreme compared to your life. I mean, not many of us are going to be tapped by God to go to another country and to proclaim their destruction. And I know a lot of us are breathing easy about that. But I firmly believe that a lot of the problems we have in this country is because the people of Christ have not stood up and told the truth. We have been made watchmen for each other. We have been made watchmen for this nation. We've been made watchmen for this church and in our families. God has given us the specific task of watching for Him and delivering His words. His words don't just come forth from here on Sunday. It comes out of every one of our mouths. Just think about it for a moment. Do you know someone right now who is making choices that are going to lead them away from God? Do you know somebody like that? I mean, just stop and think for a minute. What is their ultimate end if they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? There may be somebody at work or somebody in your neighborhood about to do something that are going to put their marriage in jeopardy, impacting the future of their entire family. It's imperative for us to recognize when God is inviting us to be a watch person. He may ask you to warn a loved one, or to intercede for a friend, or to encourage a colleague to turn to God, or to speak to a family member about honoring God in their life. Maybe instead of personally intervening right now, you may feel a burden to pray for somebody. Listen, a lot of us think if we can't do something, we're not being effective for the kingdom. Maybe you're feeling led to begin a season of specific daily prayer for this person. Whether this person is a coworker, spouse, a family member, maybe God is just placing a burden on your heart to stop what you're doing and to pray for them. Let me tell you, the most powerful thing you can do to bring somebody to a point where they can have a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ is to lift them up in prayer. We are called to be prayers. We're called to be interceders. We are called to lift each other up in prayer. Don't ever forget that prayer is one of the greatest ways that we can serve as a watchman. As you begin to see yourself as a watchman, I think we all should, as you begin to see yourself as a watchman, pray daily for those people that God has put around you. Sometimes just pray, God, I don't know what you got for me today, but put somebody in my path that I can share the good news with. Put somebody in my path that's hurting so that I can love them. Ask God to give you His perspective so that you can begin to see that person and that person's pain from God's point of view. Sometimes we only feel like we're called to talk to people who look, act, and smell and behave like us. But sometimes God will put somebody in your path that is nothing like you, so that through you, they can see the God who loves them too. Pray for those people. And as you do so, God will give you insights into their lives. Pray that God will change them. And instead of avoiding somebody who isn't like you, pray that God will give you a desire to carry their burdens. God tells us in 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him." God also told Job, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" When we approach something, whether we're afraid to talk to this person, this person's got a problem that we don't know that we ought to get involved in, but if God has burdened us to do it, we say, "God, I just don't know if I can do this." And God says, "I am the God, I am the Lord of all flesh. Is there anything that is too hard for me?" Stop and spend some time asking God to forgive you and to release your life so that you can serve Him for His purposes. Sometimes that's where it needs to start, with our seeking forgiveness for what we have done, and then asking God to then use us as His instrument to reach whomever He has got for us to reach. Maybe you're one of the people who's been placed in the life or the path of one of those obedient children of God. Maybe somebody has been pestering you to death about your relationship with God. Maybe those conversations have been uncomfortable for you, and so as a result, you've kind of avoided that person. Maybe it's been uncomfortable for you because the discussion that person is trying to have with you hits painfully close to home. Maybe somebody contacted you and said, "I don't know why, but God just asked me to lift you up today." And you ask yourself, "How does that person know what I'm going through? How does that person even know that I'm in pain right now? I didn't think that I showed it." Well, you may not have showed it outside, but God knows. I love those little moments where God just steps into the time and lets you see who He is. When you're hurting and you're down and somebody comes out of nowhere with a word. Maybe you're one of those people. Maybe today is the day for you to respond. Remember, God chooses to work through His people to accomplish His eternal purpose. He desires to use each of His children as watchmen Every one of us has that solemn, sacred, God-given responsibility to be a watchman. Will you accept that duty today? Will you accept that privilege and that honor today? Will you pray for somebody that needs God today? Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you so much for your love and your mercy. God, I thank you for your word that just literally leaps off the page and tells us things about who you are and what you've done and what you can do to move and to transform a life, God, and what you can do to help us realize the call that you've got for each one of us. Father God, I just want it to be painfully obvious in the lives of each and every one of us that you've called us to do something. And God, I want you to lay the burden on our hearts to the point where we can't do anything else but what you have called us to do. And God, I pray that we do that with power and with passion and with courage and with boldness. In other words, God, I pray that we do this in your strength and not our own. Father, I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who works in our lives to teach us about you, who convicts us when we stray from you, God, and who calls us to return. God, I thank you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, without whom we would not be here today. Lord, thank you for sending him as the sacrifice, as the example, as the model for us of what it means to love and to serve and to reach as we live each day trying to grow more and more like him. And Father, if there is someone here today that has heard that word from you and that needs to make a decision based on that, who needs to answer you, who needs to return to you, who needs to accept the gift that you have offered, a gift of salvation, eternal life, and freedom from sin, God, I pray that today will be that day. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together for our time.